Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast, coming from Dallas, Texas and Sacramento, California. Here's Skylar Teo and David Stauffer.
Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast. Here to talk about... Skylar's back, if you couldn't hear that.
I've just drank too much.
We actually are joined...
What a stupid bit.
We are joined today... by a third person, Mr. Brian Mortensen, B-Mort of the Happy Valley Podcast, who we've been wanting to get on for a while.
Happy Mort.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Dude, we tried to get you on for the first Pixar podcast where we reviewed Inside Out, but you didn't make your train.
I didn't, yeah.
Is that story true or false?
Oh, absolutely true. On the whole way home, instead of trying to come on, I just responded to what I thought you guys should have said.
Yeah, I remember getting those tweets. That's right. Okay. Because there was a debate. We wondered if maybe you just got cold feet.
No, not at all.
Okay.
I have strong opinions.
That would have been a much easier movie to defend, to be fair. Like
the Inside Out?
That would have been way easy.
No.
Oh, yeah. That's a great movie.
Oh, yeah. That's what's so interesting about this is, like, Inside Out is, in my opinion, an example of, like, premier Pixar. Like, that's what I believe there are three tiers of Pixar films. That's a tier one film. And then The Good Dinosaur is...
Did you just say premiere?
Like I don't think so.
Are you talking about like the time before Russia created the Mir space station? Like are you talking like Toy Story and then A Bug's Life and then that's it? That's premiere.
No, I think he was using the word premiere.
Did I say the word premiere? Did I really
say
that?
You said premiere. I heard premiere. To all of this is a big boo from me. That is dumb. That is Pixar is the same as it's ever been.
That's not true.
Wait,
that's
can just we rewind the tape really fast? I think okay. I got it rewinded.
Premiere. 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 Premiere.
Premiere. Dude, you said premiere. That's weird.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody's going to listen at home.
Was that when I was trying to say tier one?
He was emphasizing the beginning of the word as a way of saying it's the best.
Guys, I'm going to level with you. I have Adobe Premiere opened on my desktop right now, and I'm looking at the logo, and I'm pretty sure I accidentally said it. Gosh. I wish I could rewind.
I don't think you accidentally said it. You said it like you were using it as a word.
No.
You just said it as in like before Mir.
So, Skylar.
You know, Skylar, we're going to have to agree to disagree. Premiere. Premiere.
Skylar. Inside Out,
B-Mort.
Greatest movie of the year or greatest movie of all time?
it's top 10.
Yeah, absolutely. So you...
I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's peak storytelling right there.
It is.
Like, that's an example of a well-told narrative.
Yeah.
And it looks great. And if you want to look at a movie that looks great for, like, the backgrounds... Like, okay, can we just say that this movie would have been, like, a really cool... Planet Earth episode if Planet Earth didn't have animals.
Are you
like,
talking about The Good Dinosaur?
Yeah,
I think this is a study in contrast because Inside Out actually did not focus at all on its backgrounds. It was mostly you're very claustrophobic movie. You're mostly walled in and everything that is in front of you is seen. As opposed to in The Good Dinosaur, you see pretty much the background is one of the premier features of the movie. Agreed?
I'd say that it's the background's the best part of the movie in the sense that everything else is terrible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Skylar on this one.
So let me know what you think that The Good Dinosaur is terrible.
It is one of the most
vanilla, animation style.
Bland stories. I've seen animation.
Let's start at the narrative.
Over a decade, maybe? Like, I think I liked Mars Needs Moms a little bit better.
Boo.
Stop. Boo. That's an exaggeration.
Hey, yeah. I didn't say I had bad animation.
But, like, okay, so the narrative, they took Lion King, and they took Land Before Time, and then they took, like, generic hero's journey story, and then they made this just terrible film. Like, okay.
That's so wrong.
So,
it's so bad. The story is so bad.
No, it's not.
The characters are so unlikable, bro.
What are you talking about?
No, the story's not good.
It's a good story. It's a story about overcoming fear.
Oh, my God.
Oh, but does he? Like,
No, guys, I would think the majority of people agree with me that it was a good movie.
Okay, that's not
that
true.
That is insane that Rotten Tomatoes gave it
a 76. Rotten Tomatoes 76. Like, it dropped 2 points today. So this is what's interesting about Rotten Tomatoes, by the way, because I was like, you know what? I really want to get inside Brian's head and figure out, like, what redeeming values did this movie have other than animation, which was breathtaking and some of the best, maybe the best computer animation I've ever seen in a film.
For the backgrounds,
like
yes.
The water, the backgrounds, it felt like I was terrible. At Yosemite. It was really, 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 really well animated. But mm-hmm. Pixar, as at the forefront of animation, but also is, you know, all about story, and they've told some of the best stories in cinema history. Mm-hmm. And so, like,
look at WALL-E. Look at Ratatouille.
Like,
look
so the
at
bottom the line is franchise. Like, yeah, beautiful looking film with the most hollow, empty story, and it was really, really boring.
Oh, it's so boring.
I completely disagree with you. I'm not saying that I can see holes in the story. Like, for instance, when he gets back.
Hose?
Holes?
Oh.
You're having a hard time with words today, Skyler.
The Shia LaBeouf movie.
I can see holes in the story. Okay, so, like, spoiler horn.
You got to go dig those holes.
Spoiler horn, I'm going to talk about the end of the movie. He gets back to mm-hmm. the, you know, his home, and he puts his mark on the thing, but he hasn't done anything for his family.
Yeah.
It's like he just fell in a river. I don't.
Yeah. And what was his mark?
I kept thinking this is such a perfect opportunity for the humans to come back and help them, like, plant and, you know, like, gather and stuff like that.
His mom will be dead in a season.
His mom will be like, dead.
Yeah, yeah. She is a goner.
Did you see how tough she's looking? Like, and by the way, there's no other male dinosaurs around. Like, she is going to be single for life.
So can we talk for a second about the main...
Ancillary point is, let me give you the points I like about the movie before we discuss them.
Okay.
This should be short.
No, the villains of the film are presented in a very unique way where you meet the giant bird pterodactyls, and you think that they're good, but then they turn out to be bad. And then they flip that on its head that when you meet the T-Rexes, you think that they'll be bad because of what's just happened, and they actually turn out to be good. And I think the movie works as a Western, which it is a Western. It's a story about a guy that leaves his town and then comes back after being in the West. It's a West story.
That's why they all have terrible accents.
Yes.
Okay, this is making a little bit more sense.
It's a Western.
The accent work is terrible, by the way.
What are you talking about? Other Ron is in it. It is the T-Rex.
Okay, yes, I know Other Ron, which, by the way, you should know him from not Other Ron, but from the classic 80s movie Roadhouse.
Oh, no, I don't know that one.
Oh, I think you're thinking of Grindhouse, Roadhouse the Tarantino film. Yeah, that's it.
No, everybody should see Roadhouse. It's a hard R, but worth every little bit of R that it has.
I thought that it played to a lot of cool things about what your assumptions would be about the human, which is that at some point the human is going to be our main character, but of course the human is the dog in this situation, and I thought that was kind of clever.
Oh, that's why his name's
Spot. Yeah, yeah. He's a dog, it's supposed to be a metaphor
Brilliant
for dogs.
Name. Brilliant name. I thought when that one character, Forrest Woodbrush, I didn't think they could top that name. And then shortly after, they revealed that the human's name is Spot. And I was like, nailed it.
They never spent Woodbrush too long in an area. I didn't feel like there was ever a time where I was like, okay, next thing. They spent an adequate amount of time on every little bit they did. And I thought the ending was left something to be desired. I agree. But I thought overall it was a pretty good story. I disagree with you guys that story was the problem. I think that story was fine. I think maybe some of the character development was a problem, but story was good.
So
can I talk about story? Yeah. Okay, I just want to kind of break down kind of from like, you go from like little set piece to set piece. It kind of feels like a play, you know, like you could see them doing this on set. Like you like move in this new set mm-hmm. piece. So you start off, you have the farm, then you have the river, which I don't even want to talk about the
logistical problems.
Spoiler alert,
no, horn. Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it because all of us wept when that happened to Mufasa, but none of us did for that guy. Be honest.
Right.
Yeah, it was a good homage.
I didn't feel a thing.
When his dad got washed away, I was literally like, ah, dumb dinosaur. Like,
but Mufasa, when he died, like Simba felt that it was his fault, that it was on his conscience. But as the audience, we knew it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here, we know it's Arlo's fault.
It's not,
Arlo is the sole
Arlo's
reason why his dad
is
dead.
Stupid.
It
no,
is too Arlo's fault. If Arlo would have done his job and bashed that stupid spot,
the character development is that he is better than his dad, right? That he didn't do that and that would benefit them, which would have fit perfectly with an ending where the humans came back and helped on the farm.
He's not a human, Brian. He's a critter. I can't tell you how much I respect your willingness to come in and like defend the good dinosaur. The whole reason why we have you here is because you're the biggest Pixar fan I know, and we need a differing opinion on this. But
But I'm just as critical as Pixar as you guys are. I just think that you're looking to fill the story about what you think Pixar is now, which doesn't match with its current movies.
No,
which
is four of their last five movies have been their worst.
But Pixar just made a mess.
Four of their last five have been their worst, and the one that wasn't was their best.
So. Well, it's not better than Up.
Inside Out's not their best. It's easily better than Up. Ratatouille is better than both of those movies.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Ratatouille is much better than Inside Out.
I don't agree with that.
He controls his head by using hair. Like, he's under the hat using hair to control a human being. And then he's cooking. He's cooking French cuisine.
I think if you ask Pixar people what their best movie was, they would say Ratatouille.
Have you done that?
That's because it's their best movie.
I don't know any
Pixar people. Ratatouille is the best Pixar movie.
So clearly we all differ here. So let's just be very clear here. So, Brian, your favorite Pixar film is Inside Out.
Yes.
And then for Skylar, it's Ratatouille?
I'd say movies that I liked more than Inside Out would be Ratatouille, WALL-E, Toy Story 3, Toy Story 2, Toy Story, Up, and I'll give it that it was better than Monsters, Inc.
I mean, so if I'm only including like one Toy Story film in like my top five, which if I'm including them all three of them are in, because I think all three of them are masterpieces. But for me, it's Up, then Toy Story 3, then Monsters, Inc., then Inside Out, then Ratatouille. And then WALL-E, but yeah.
I still can't believe how much you hate The Incredibles.
I don't hate it. I just have superhero movie fatigue. And that's just, it's just by the number superhero film.
It's not their fault. Incredibles is like 15 years old now.
It hasn't held up for me. It just hasn't.
It looks great.
I will say, I have rewatched Finding Nemo on a flight. Since we recorded the last Pixar pod, and it's quite a bit better than I remember. Still kind of a plain story, and I don't think it deserves all the love it gets.
I think that Good Dinosaur tried to replicate some of Finding Nemo, actually.
Oh absolutely. It tried to steal some of that. Okay. It wanted to have the hero's journey, except the problem is they created a secondary character who couldn't speak English.
I have a question for Brian. Is there a more unlikable hero in a Pixar film than what's his name, Arby's or Arlo?
Arby's.
Yes, absolutely.
Name one.
The person from Cars, Lightning McQueen.
No, Lightning McQueen is way more
likable. McQueen is a hero.
I love Lightning McQueen, bro.
I don't like Lightning McQueen.
I like Lightning.
I think Cars is so overrated. Least, you know.
Okay, what about the ant from Ant or from Ants?
Yeah, I liked him. He's you know ants. Scrappy, but yeah, maybe. A
was he played by Woody Allen? I didn't like Woody Allen.
No, that is Ants, but not The Bug's Life. Inside Out. Inside Out and I would say Toy Story are Pixar's most important movies because they first one sells the idea that a movie can be so good that the animation doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. And Inside Out sells the idea that a movie can be completely digestible for children, but be for parents. And I think that Toy Story is for kids that parents loved it. I think Inside Out is for parents, but kids love it. And I think
that's been happening at Pixar for years, though.
What do you think?
Like, wouldn't you say WALL-E's a movie for adults?
Yes, I do. But I think Ratatouille's a movie for adults. Pander.
Yeah, Ratatouille is definitely adult oriented for sure.
Oh, especially the sex scene.
Yeah, it's a little graphic, but. Wait, like rewind a little bit. I want to make sure I understood the point you were making there. Were you saying Toy Story was about how good a story can be regardless of animation?
Most people who
dude, that like, was crazy.
Wasn't it perfect? Wasn't it like perfect though?
They didn't even really care that the animation was great. They just cared about
the
story.
First fully digital movie.
And the story was incredible. It didn't have to be one or the other.
It did. But the story overshadowed it. That's true.
Honestly, we cannot overstate how incredible of an accomplishment Toy Story is, because they hit it 100% on both animation and story on their first try.
Yeah.
Like, you can't.
I mean, and they got Tom Hanks and Tim Allen to work together.
Plus, they put food on Tim Allen's.
But just like how those two characters are destined for those people they played, I feel Inside Out is also destined for all of their characters that have played them. This movie doesn't work as much
those characters
if
for those
Amy
actors.
Poehler isn't Amy Poehler, or if Phyllis isn't Phyllis.
They didn't get NBC's Thursday night lineup from 3 years ago. Just take those actors.
Well, you don't have to defend Inside Out.
We're gonna get two people from The Office. We're gonna get somebody from 30 Rock. We're gonna get somebody from Parks and Rec. We're gonna get somebody from The Mindy Project. We got
But my overall point to you is not that Inside Out and Toy Story. My overall point is that Inside Out is an example of them taking more risk since the Disney merger and making maybe worse movies sometimes, but making much better movies most of the time, is what I would say.
So,
but most of the time, what does that mean?
I have a problem with that a little bit, I guess. I don't know. When a company's made masterpiece after masterpiece after masterpiece, I guess, I don't know, maybe I am very entitled and maybe I've been extremely spoiled.
But what does that tell you? If a company continues to succeed without any failures, it tells you they're not taking risk, doesn't it?
Oh, but isn't Wall-E a huge risk?
No, I think they took risk. I think Toy Story
was controversial. Would you agree with that? That people thought that it was an example?
Wall-E is definitely controversial.
Well, yeah, because they were alienating a right-wing component of their their viewers.
They're alienating a conservative group of people who are fat, yes. And there's liberals who are fat, but we mostly kill them.
But they
them.
Just don't care.
But then they're also alienating people who like dialogue in the first 30 minutes of their movie. They're eliminating people who don't like that one movie that they keep dancing to.
But
they're alienating people
who,
people
thought that would be kids, but it wasn't kids because kids love not dialogue because they're like, oh, I understand what this character is feeling. Even though it's not – what's amazing is that's an inanimate object and that should tell you about how you're projecting.
Whoa. It's inanimate in the same sense that like R2-D2 or C-3PO are inanimate.
Yeah. Well,
that's a human – inside there.
But he never talks, and you just see what he does. There's Wall-E is a complete projection of what you think he is.
That's true.
Are we all in agreement that Wall-E is a masterpiece?
It is, yeah.
Wall-E is a masterpiece. And plus, it is gorgeous. It's one of the prettiest.
They ended the movie the exact opposite way of what you'd expect, of course, that Wall-E is our hero, but he's not the one that saves Eva. Eva saves him. Which is, again, the first, earliest aspect of female empowerment themes in their movies, which continues to today.
Oh, let's not even talk about Brave. Okay.
Would have preferred if it was a human, but, you know.
That's true.
You know, that's a good point.
It's hard for me to get behind the feminist robot movement, but I'm in the feminist human one.
Hashtag yes, all women. But you know what? what are, like... I think a good sign of, like, how good of a Pixar movie is, there's a takeaway.
Yep.
So, you know, like, in Finding Nemo, it's just keep swimming, which is, like, a good message. Yep. And Incredibles, it's if everyone's special, then no one's special. This kind of notion that you need to find what it is for
which
yourself.
Which is not a great
not
message.
Like everybody else.
Incredibles is a really good movie, but it is a muddled message. I think the Incredibles
I think that's
movie
a great
is
message.
More like when you grow
Thank
up,
you,
it's hard. I think it's just
No. The message is... find what your special thing is. Don't be like everybody else's special
thing. Yeah,
that's
true. But Monsters U does
a
really good job
message.
With that, too. I know you guys hate it. But Monsters U comes away with a very similar theme, which is that not everyone can be good at everything, but you have to be able to find out what you're good at and like, accept that you might not be scary. I really like that Monsters University.
So for me, just to be clear, Monsters U is less of a terrible film and more of a completely missed opportunity.
Yeah.
I was mostly being entirely underwhelmed. Monsters, Inc. is my third favorite Pixar film. I love Monsters, Inc. It's an incredibly original world, a vibrant world they created with these really, really cool concepts. And then they take all of this originality and then put them in this ridiculous setting that has been done time and time
but
again.
It
was a bummer for me.
I think that you view that the wrong way, which is... The sequels, we were spoiled with Toy Story 2 and 3 in that they happened to be better than the first one that preceded it. And they got, that they didn't get lucky, but they were trying to, Toy Story 2 was supposed to be a bad movie. It was going to be straight to DVD.
They tried to
make a bad movie and they just couldn't do it. And so then they put their full force behind it and basically had to rescue it from being a bad movie. So that's why it was better.
Well, then Lasseter basically rewrote it in a weekend and then they animated it in like 9 months.
Kids almost died in the back seats of cars because Pixar parents forgot their kids were in the car and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so,
but you know what? That's worth it because it has a 100% Rotten Tomatoes
score. I'd be fine if 100 kids died so that movie got made. It'd be worth it.
But my point being that they don't view the sequels as exactly equal to the originals. And so they're willing to make shticks for their sequels. And that's, I think Monsters University is like, what if we took the Monsters University and did like a college thing? Because they're in college. That's the only way we can go back.
But what? I feel like that's not how Pixar has approached their stories historically. And that's what's made them so great. They've been telling incredibly rich original stories, like from the get-go. I don't think they approach like, let's take this original idea and put them in an idea.
I do think that's how they do most of the sequels. I mean, maybe not Toy Story.
Well, that's maybe why all their sequels suck, except for the Toy Story.
Yeah, and so you think of, like, Cars 2. What was Cars 2's theme? They're like, what if cars were spies? Which is, it's like, no, there's too many metaphors here, guys. Like, cars was already
a metaphor. McMissile's a great name, though.
Brian, you're not going to like this, but Cars 2 is a better movie than the Good Dinosaur.
That's hot garbage. That's hot garbage.
So that was my opinion as well after I saw The Good Dinosaur, because I was, like, pretty offended with The Good Dinosaur. I went through and I watched a bunch of YouTube clips of Cars 2 and kind of got my head on straight. So for me, The Good Dinosaur is the second worst Pixar film. The thing about Cars 2, though, the argument in favor of Cars 2 is, like, I can at least understand that this one is for kids. Kids love it. My nephews love the movie. It's also a merchandising play, and I can't hate people for making a ton of money.
It's all about that money.
But with The Good Dinosaur, like, I'm sitting in the theater, like, these kids are not enjoying this movie.
This is not for the kids. Kids love it.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah. The forest
kids
wood brushes are just flying off the shelves.
It's a triceratops with like 30 animals on it. That's hilarious.
I thought it was funny.
And captivating.
This is an incredibly, like, for kids, it's a very dull and slow movie. And it's scary. Yeah. Like, I had a coworker telling me, like, his kid was terrified of the scene where his dad dies, you know? And then they were just bored the rest of the time.
Well, and the villains are pretty villainous. Like, the born-again Christians that they were mocking, that was kind of, like, dark. Like, I found in the storm that whole shtick was a little dark, but I like that.
They also got high, by
that
the
was
way.
So funny.
Oh,
that was so good.
Do you remember that time when the characters
got high?
That
was so funny. You guys are crazy.
It was not funny. It was terrible. No.
It could have been funny if it wasn't so jarring and out of place. As it was happening, I was like, wait, what?
You don't give them any points for being original with, like, an idea. And the idea is pretty original, I think.
Seth Rogen's done that, like, 1,000 times.
No, getting high, I'm not saying that. I think in a kid's movie, it is not good if you're like, well, what if they ate mushrooms? And then they'd be like, well, shut it down. We can't do that in a kid's movie. But they're like, no, this is what would happen. Well, you know, we can do this tastefully.
Wait, were those mushrooms? I thought they were like berries that had gone bad.
Those berries.
Yeah. So, well, that makes sense too, I guess.
That's why I was confused why they were, I thought they were drunk. And so then I was really confused why they were acting high.
Well,
if they're just drunk.
I couldn't stop thinking about the berries. I was like, what could have been in those berries?
I was so confused. It caught me so from left field. Like, just what is going on?
So I really do. I sincerely wonder who the audience is for this movie. Like, really, who's the audience? It's not entertaining for adults, and it's boring for kids.
Well, okay, you say that, and, like, I agree with you. But here's what I can't understand for the life of me. It has a 76 on Rotten Tomatoes. 3/4 of critics saw this and thought, this is a better than not good movie. Yeah. Like,
I started doing this before the call started. I started this exercise. I didn't have enough time to finish, but I read through all of or almost all of the fresh scores and actually read the little snippet. Yeah. I can tell you nearly half of them
were negative.
Say something to the effect of, the animation's really good, but the story's like not good. Or like, the story's meh.
It's
but
a 76,
really,
but
good.
Every single,
like,
person who was on the positive side was barely on the positive side. I agree with that.
Which is why it's in the 60s.
It's not in the 60s. Dropping by the second.
On Metacritic.
No, I don't
on
care
Metacritic.
About Metacritic.
It's true. This is not a strong, like, certified fresh. Like, it is very shaky.
And okay, so then see, this is the cycle of a fanboy. So now I'm moving from the I'm defending it because I liked it to explaining it, which is they kind of knew that this one was not as good as Inside Out, and they positioned very well.
Right. So then why did they make it?
I think that the idea behind Good Dinosaur, the original idea that they really liked, it got the Bob Patterson version. Yeah, it got in a lot of trouble, and they have, you know, they labeled it problematic, and they, you know, fired the directors and rehired, and they treated it as a salvage. And I think the last,
why not go straight to DVD then?
They don't like that. They want to make a good movie.
That would be terrible for their brand. You know what? So, like, Pixar has thrown movie, I guess one movie we know of, at least, have thrown films out, which to me, is the most baller bad A move to protect your brand and to say, I don't care if we spent maybe close to $100 million on this.
They probably put $100 million in it.
But I think that Newt was a more of a cancellation because they had a bad film and they had a competing film that was almost exactly like it.
Dude, have you heard of The Croods?
Yeah, and that is, I think that was probably based on the original Good Dinosaur thing. I think the same thing is about to happen with Zootopia, which seems like it's a little bit Dinosaur.
No. Zootopia is not like
Good
Dinosaur.
Yeah, it's like if animals...
Well, at least Zootopia is trying to be funny.
But they chose Jason Bateman. Jason Bateman, bro. No. Although The Gift, dude, I was very surprised by how much I liked
The Gift. The Gift is in my top 10 of the year. It's such a good movie. Anyway,
I can't hear anybody.
But back to Pixar. I would have loved if they would have just scrapped this one altogether. Like, I was trying to read in, and you know, it's hard to get actually any really concrete details about the tumultuous behind the scenes stuff going on with Good Dinosaur. Like,
well, Brian, do you know anything about that?
What
was it that was troublesome about it? Was it racist?
No, the original plot was, what if, the asteroid missed Earth, and then the basically dinosaurs have evolved into humans, and could we tell that story? That dinosaurs would have eventually become smart because they wouldn't have died. And so there was this...
That's what this movie is.
No, I don't think so. Because then now you have that's the assumption. But then they don't really ever push it to its conclusion, which is like, well, then they'd have cities and there would be... But in this movie, it's more of a Western. And I think they decided early on that they were going to focus the scenery on something beautiful because they knew that the story was in trouble. And so they went to Wyoming, and they said, what can we use from Wyoming, the themes of Wyoming, in this story? And then they inserted...
That feels like they took the easy way out on it. Like,
gosh, I just...
They're like, we don't know how to do anything more than just, like, them pushing their heads in the ground to plow.
Do you guys see my graph that I made? I would love to put that in the show notes, because I made a graph.
Yeah, no, totally.
Of
we can
Disney movies...
David, don't do
before,
that.
Before the merger, and then Disney movies after the merger, and same with Pixar movies... I think that a lot of what Pixar used to do, which is really be scrutinize movies and make them better than and kill ones that aren't good, that attention has become what they do at Disney. And I think that Pixar has this kind of free reign to do, like I said before, to take kind of bigger bets, which Good Dinosaur, I kind of agree, is not exactly pay out as much as Inside Out. But Inside Out was also a troubled movie, right? Something that they didn't think was going to work. The Toy Stories all worked. They never felt like Toy Stories were troublesome, I think. Sometimes Disney in the first one would try to interfere, but they always kind of knew. They even say that, Toy Story 3 was such an easy production that they were worried that it was bad. So. Yeah. So.
Well, speaking of Toy Story, the recent news dropped about Tom Hanks recording his line for Toy Story 4.
He was there today. He's recording today.
Yeah. And, like, look, they had the greatest ending to that, really, that trilogy in 3. Mm-hmm. But when you get a chance to tell the story of where Bo Peep went, you got to do it, you know?
I'm
in two minds. They have to continue making sequels because that's how they make money.
Why?
No, that...
Why? Explain to me that. No, no. Okay, so Ed Asner says that in his book, the whole feed the beast.
Feed the beast, protect the new. Yeah.
Why? Whoa. Like, every one of their movies, nearly every one of their movies, makes a crap ton of money.
But not compared to what they spend on it.
I know. They spend like $200 million in another.
And Good Dinosaur was supposed to come out 2 years ago. So it's not like they were trying to gestate it.
Inside Out took five-something years, right?
Yep.
So I get that. But they still... They're making a ton of money on these movies. Like,
I that's one of the reasons
where,
that
the
they,
really,
that
really well-reviewed
Disney,
ones like didn't make money. They all make money.
Yeah, and when Disney bought them, I do think that was an existential crisis for the people inside Pixar because they're like, okay, well, what now? We're not going to have to fight for it.
Yeah.
I guess, but all the Disney movies, the more interesting thing is to think about how much better Frozen got, how much better Wreck-It Ralph got, how much better what's the last one?
Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6 got because... You know, they have that better process from Pixar.
Can't argue
with
that.
I don't know if I like that.
You don't? What would you be your ideal? Do you think that they don't sell to Disney?
No, I think that was necessary, and I'm okay with that. I don't have anything against Disney.
I mean, we got Cars Land. Cars Land is like the best thing to come out of that merger.
That's seriously, though. like, say what you will about, I think Cars, I talk about three tiers of Pixar films. Cars 2 is in the bottom tier. I put Cars in the second tier. But look, the Cars Land is the best thing that came from those movies.
It's pretty awesome.
Cars Land might be the best thing that's came out of Pixar, man. Cars Land is incredible. It's such an experience walking through there.
I think that one of the more exciting things to think about with the Disney-Pixar merger is that everyone at Pixar, of course, is from Lucasfilm, because that's they originally working on all of George Lucas's stuff and then got sold to Steve Jobs from Lucas himself. And now, you know, the Star Wars movies are coming back to them. I think that they should make a Star Wars movie. Pixar should make an animated Star Wars movie. That'd be awesome.
I did have a couple general Pixar questions that I want to ask Brian before I forget.
Sure. Okay.
I'm curious, who's your favorite director?
John Lasseter.
Okay. I get Easy. Not counting John Lasseter, I guess, because he's like Walt Disney. So.
Sure. I really like Pete Docter, but I also think that... who's the guy that did Incredibles? Brad Bird.
Brad Bird.
I think that Brad Bird is behind most of what makes Pixar movies good because he's part of that brain trust, and he's pretty ruthless by all accounts and not letting people get away with lazy story.
Okay.
So I'm excited to see him come back
for
Incredibles 2 because I think that it'll have to be a strong movie. It can't be a bad movie.
He saved Ratatouille. For him.
He did. And that movie... It's hard because I really like that movie.
That's amazing.
Did you guys see? But
people didn't like it because it's a rat. I did see that,
of course.
Brad Bird. So
is that Brad Bird?
That's Brad Bird. That was his first live action.
Yeah. And I'm still. I guess it's official now. I'm the last person on the planet that will at least publicly say they liked Tomorrowland.
Don't talk about Tomorrowland, David. Don't talk about Tomorrowland.
It's a good movie. Yeah, it's preachy. It's preachy. But if you go in with the right mindset and low expectations, you'll enjoy yourself.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Did you see it, Brian?
I mean.
What did you think?
I really liked it. Yeah, cool. I think every time I see Hugh Laurie. And he has an English accent. Yeah. I'm like, stop doing the English accent, bro. And I know that he's English, which is how convincing House was, is that I just don't but believe don't that he can be anyone else. So he takes me out of it a little bit.
I wanted a little bit less George Clooney and Robot Girl romance, but, you know, whatever.
Who's your guys' favorite directors?
So for me, it's Pete Docter, right? And he's the one that hasn't... Well, one of them that hasn't really made the transition to live action, because you have Brad Bird that's done live action, and then Andrew Stanton, who got a bad rap for John Carter, which isn't a bad movie.
John Carter from Mars.
John Carter of Mars. Has he directed anything else? Or is that...
He did A Bug's Life. He was on The Good Dinosaur before...
I mean, after John Carter. Other than... Yeah.
No, it didn't do very well. I think that was kind of his... That was your chance, bro.
Yeah, that's a bummer, because I think he could do well. Now, Pete Docter... Here's my question. If Pete Docter ventures into live action films, what do you want that movie to be? What genre?
Star Wars.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. I want him to make a Star Wars.
I just want to see a movie about his face.
I think maybe even Marvel. He could do a really good Marvel movie. But a new property, not a, you know, like a staple. I am surprised to hear that Marvel, Star Wars, and Pixar and Disney are not sharing some of their directors, because now they're all in the same building.
It's a bizarre problem they have there.
It'll be interesting, because all of the, you know, the same types of people keep directing the Marvel movies. I think that they'll have to start changing it up here. So
right. Well, I didn't like Ultron, by the way. I should say I didn't love it.
I hated it.
But did you like Ant-Man?
What's that?
Did you like Ant-Man?
Yeah, I kind of did. Yeah,
that's a good example of Marvel taking a risk and not. It's not.
They
great,
did take a full risk, though.
A good example of them taking risk. A risk.
Ant-Man was not a screw up of a film. It was totally fine to watch one time. Like, it's not like an all timer or anything like that. But it was an entertaining movie. It's popcorn.
It was such a half measure, like Breaking Bad style, talking about like half measures. Like, they almost took the full risk with Ant-Man, but then they said, you know what? We want to kind of take a step back from the script and the director and kind of play it a little safer. And because of that, it turned out like so vanilla. Like, it's just such a fine movie. It's fine.
Yeah. No, it's safe. It's fine. I agree with that. But I love Michael Pena. So, you know.
But the criticism against this model of making movies is that you always make safe movies. They're going to always be pretty good, but they'll be safe. And so you never take a true risk and make a truly incredible movie, where you risk something, right? And I think that even when they got bought by Disney, that was pretty assured. It was like, well, now we don't really have to risk anything, so we can kind of go out into left field.
How risky have they really been? I guess Inside Out.
Monsters U.
What do you think is
risky?
The riskiest Pixar film?
The Good Dinosaur. I mean, they should have killed it a long time ago. I agree with you guys that it's problematic, but they focused on scenery. They told a,
It's not too late to make it a sing-along, because at least I could do something when, you know, throughout the movie.
Like, what if, like, he met
come on,
two guys
he's gonna see it again
named
and
Timon
not
and Pumbaa? And then they said,
Look, Arlo's dad died because it was Arlo's fault, because Arlo just didn't have the balls to get the job done and kill the little thing.
Spot.
That is so messed up.
It's true though,
dude.
It's true.
It's definitely a very progressive laden message, because it's saying like, don't kill animals because they could be people.
Wow.
But what if that animal hates? What if that animal is like against gay marriage or something? Then it's a whole another ball game.
But this is one of the reasons that I'm so happy that Disney's adopted it, and I think that now Disney owns Star Wars, is no matter what Star Wars is, it will never be bad. It will be 76% on Rotten Tomatoes. Does that make sense? And that's my argument about Pixar, is that even their worst movies are 76ers, right? They're not the 30s.
But like, I think that it's worse than a 76. I think it's getting a lot of credit for being more than it is.
The Good Dinosaur, for all intents and purposes, it's a rotten film.
No, it's not. It's certified fresh.
No. Pixar is benefited by a group of like, look.
You know, this
Brave,
is the fanboy
Brave,
argument.
Was
of saying,
it Brave
like,
that got the Oscar
really
over Wreck-It Ralph?
Brave is not a better movie than Wreck-It Ralph. There's no way.
It's just not.
I agree with that. It might be a better technical achievement, which is what the
people in
the Oscars think that category is about.
So do you think Good Dinosaur?
What I'm getting at is,
because it's so beautiful,
the people who voted for Brave in the Academy, probably a lot of them didn't see it, but it was a Pixar film, and that's how I view a lot of these reviews. Like, they're automatically going to be positive going in, and they're blessed by the reputation that they earned. Like, I get that. Mm-hmm. This is a rotten.
If they earned with their last movie, I would point out.
Absolutely, Inside Out's a masterpiece. Totally,
Can't disagree with that.
So, but your guys' argument that Pixar is in a slump, I think that is hard.
Dude,
it's not in a slump.
I just think they're headed in a bad direction. We have a few bad stinkers in very recent past, and the slate coming up doesn't look good.
Since I came home from my mission.
Because they're sequels.
Yes. Yeah. Toy Story is such a great idea, and they had the best people on them, and they made two really great sequels, and they haven't made a good sequel since.
who's directing Toy Story 4? Let's see.
I think Adolf Hitler is.
Oh, it's John Lasseter, so I think that movie will be fine.
Did you?
Finding Dory is Andrew Stanton. That Finding Dory might be problematic, guys. That might be a movie that...
Well,
yes,
I don't know what that weird trailer was. That was like a scene or something.
Ugh.
Cars 3 can't be worse than Cars 2, so I don't know.
Mm.
Incredibles 2 is a big risk. I think that's a big risk movie, because Incredibles doesn't really have a way to tell another story.
It's not a great time to make a superhero movie.
No, it's not. That's a good point. Okay.
So unless he maybe makes an anti-superhero movie, that would be kind
I'm
of
cool.
Ooh, that's fun. Hey, I just had a... what if Jack's the bad guy? That'd be dope. I just had a really clear thought that came to my mind about how to fix a Good Dinosaur. So can we do a callback to our first episode, David, where we fix Pitch Perfect 2?
Yep. How to fix Pitch Perfect 2. Let's do it.
And Jurassic
so
Park.
How to fix the Good Dinosaur. This is really simple to me now that I'm thinking about it.
Rename Arlo Arby's and at least get some.
No,
like,
no, no.
Some
we keep Arlo, and we keep Arlo the same general character, except there's a farm right next door, and it's kind of like old timey things where like they set you up with somebody, and like you're kind of presumed that you're gonna marry them. Maybe we bring some of that culture from the short before the movie, some of that Indian culture into this instead of like so westerny, and so like they have a prearranged marriage, and so. In that other farm that's like right next to theirs, they also had three eggs, and it's like, oh, and two of them are like twins. They came out of the same egg. It's a brother and a sister, and the sister and Arlo are prearranged to like be wedded someday, and he's still kind of like scared and stuff. But you know what Arlo is all about? He's all about that sister's brother. He's gay, and the dad does not understand his homosexuality. So the dad's confused, and he's pushing him to be straight. He's like, no, you're going to marry that girl, not the guy. Like, you can't marry a man. That's illegal in this country. And, like, it's going to be this whole thing about homosexuality and, like, how his dad doesn't understand it. And then instead of his dad dying and that whole story stopping right there, his dad at the end accepts him for being a gay dinosaur. And it's beautiful. Yeah. And he puts, like, a straight rainbow bumper sticker on his butt. Because, like, that's, instead of doing cars, they do that. And yeah. So he's like, I'm proud of my gay son. And, like, they have a gay wedding.
I think they made that movie, and it was called Frozen.
Yeah. I was just going to say,
was about incest.
That sounds really familiar.
That was about incest.
No, it's not. No, that is not.
No,
that
it's promoting
my
sister's
gay, and I have to accept her for it.
No, I thought that was about,
yeah,
like.
God, yeah, we need to be honest with ourselves about Elsa, people.
Oh, that's why she goes out to the oh.
Yeah, man, you see it.
Your idea, Skylar, is, like you said, the rainbow bumper sticker. I guess where Frozen would be like the coexist version bumper sticker of that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? Like,
okay, gosh, that'd be great if Pixar started making movies based off bumper stickers instead of doing these sequels.
Instead of like those napkin stories that they came up with at that one lunch where they invented Ratatouille and Wall-E and everything. Like, they just started using bumper stickers they see on the road in Sausalito.
I know I've been saying talking a lot of crap, and I'm really glad to have B-Mort here. I think the most creative storytellers in the world work at Pixar. I have a extremely high, I have a high bar, a high standard for the work they put out. So when I think it's subpar, I'm going to come at them pretty hard.
I think
they're the best.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think there's been some dilution to Disney. And they really wanted to try to protect against it, where they didn't let all of their creative people jump or not, you know, they're not going to jump because Pixar's awesome, but kind of like let the mediocrity from Disney in. But I do think they're hurting for the people that have gone over to Disney to help them with their animated efforts.
Do you think,
and
like
I think
John
that
Lasseter,
you'll see it level it out.
Well, because John Lasseter and Ed Asner are both like in C-level like roles, right?
Yes, they're both of them are chief executive officer and creative officer at both companies, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds like something that took a lot of time, a lot of your time.
Yep, they're back and forth. I think that's also why you don't see a lot of originals in Pixar's mix, because most of the originals now are at Disney, and there's two sequels planned, and that's after the sequels at Pixar come out. So I think they're trying to split John Lasseter, and I think that that graph I sent you is a good example of how they're kind of meeting each other in the middle, which is still a 79.
Explain to me the graph that is the Rotten Tomatoes one you're talking about.
Yeah.
So what are the circles represent the movies, but is it?
Yep. So those are all the Disney animated movies, which you can see they had some kind of okay movies in the
Princess and the Frog.
Well, but that was even after, that was post-merger.
It was post-merger. That was the first one, wasn't it?
Yep.
And then Tangled was the hit.
Meet the Robinsons was also right after there. Winnie the Pooh was very well reviewed.
Oh, I loved that. That was so good. Yeah.
So, but you'll see that all of a sudden after the merger, all the Disney movies jump up to right in that kind of sweet, above 86, but not quite, masterpiece level. But so
Winnie does get high in that movie.
But I think that...
Which I think they stole for Kid Dinosaur. Yeah.
Dude, Winnie, this is the real, that's the trick here. Winnie's always high.
Yeah.
Dude, he's high AF. Can I say that on the pod, David? Can I say AF?
Yeah, I'll allow it, yeah.
For all the Mormons out there, it stands for American Fork. Right?
So my general thesis that I want to convince you guys of
please.
Pixar's not in a slump. Pixar has taken over the world. Pixar is now being implemented
over
in
Disney,
Marvel,
but...
in Star Wars, and in Disney. And so they're getting a little spread, which is a good theme of really great companies right now. I think Pixar and Apple are good examples of companies that have done so well that they're now spread thin, and they need to kind of scale back and focus on less. So that's my...
So I agree with you. I actually think that's the comparison to Apple and Pixar is a very apt one, and not just because of the Jobs connection, but like DreamWorks is the Android here, right? And they keep getting better. Because I'm thinking, what was their last big one? Because I remember seeing How to Train Your Dragon 2 and thinking like, whoa, that was really good.
That was a good one. That new one with the dude. Have you guys seen the preview for that with the two different animation styles? The Last Prince? That looks really good.
No, I don't think so. Oh, I'm thinking of that Gerard Butler movie about Egypt.
No, not
that. That sounds good. I want to see that.
But the really good DreamWorks stuff is pretty good, but it's not great. But the really bad DreamWorks stuff is terrible. That's hot garbage.
You're right. Like, the worst of DreamWorks is just really bad.
So,
but the best of DreamWorks.
But I think The Good Dinosaur is like a middle of the road DreamWorks.
Oh yeah,
I really do.
It wouldn't be good DreamWorks.
Not the animation, but like the story and the sum of its parts, really.
Well, my overall thesis that I want you guys to please believe me that this is a good
sign. Just to FYI, I'm gonna cut all this out. But go ahead.
It's all worth it.
So you guys please love Pixar as much as I do, and don't hate on Good Dinosaur. It's a pretty good movie. It's not great, I'll give you that. It's not great, but it's pretty good.
I feel like
go back and let it wash over you instead of being critical.
It's just so weird because like I do love Pixar. I own all the Pixar movies.
I love Pixar so much.
I think that's why it hurts me so bad. Like, it's only because I love Pixar so much that I critique this movie. Like, if this movie was DreamWorks, we wouldn't be talking about it.
I wouldn't care.
No, like it would be like,
you'd be kind of surprised.
I wouldn't care.
Like, oh, I probably wouldn't have seen it, honestly. But like, it's because I love the Pixar so much that I tear it apart. And like, you listen to our Inside Out podcast though. We loved Inside Out. Like, it's not that we hate all things Pixar now. It's that we feel that it's on a bad trend.
But you immediately pointed to Inside Out and said, "Here's why you don't do sequels."
Right.
I think they have a bad track record with sequels, other than Toy Story.
I agree. I just think they really don't want to make good sequels. They think of them as cash cows, but they can't help but make them kind of good.
It's just, it's hard because like we remember the good old days, like pre-2010. Let's just talk about pre-2010. Like, as we were kids growing up, we were so lucky because we got to watch just an unbelievable list of amazing movies. Like, we got Ratatouille, we got Toy Story 2, we got, like, I love A Bug's Life. We got Up, we got Ratatouille, Wall-E. Like, we just got this list of movies, Finding Nemo.
And all of the other animation houses have had to catch up.
Right.
I would say that that's also happening. So the market is not tolerating garbage anymore.
Yeah.
Angry Birds movie is coming, so, I mean, the market will take some garbage. But...
Man, I'm too much of a blind fan of Hater.
That looks so bad.
It looks terrible, but I'm going to see it.
That preview made me angry, too, because I actually kind of like Angry Birds, and it's like, this doesn't even do respect to the fans. Come on.
No, the movie should have just been, like, I don't know, get somebody famous, like Leonardo DiCaprio, on an iPhone, playing Angry Birds for an hour and a half.
But for birds. Yeah.
I would watch Leonardo DiCaprio playing Angry Birds in a heartbeat.
If you could get Scorsese to do it, too, I'd go.
Oh, if Scorsese
just
directs.
Massacre. He just kills so many pigs.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's great.
Dude, how much would you pay to hang out with Leonardo DiCaprio for a day?
Not much.
Not that much for Leo. He seems like kind of like maybe he wouldn't be that much fun.
No. Leonardo DiCaprio would be the most fun person to hang out with in all of Hollywood.
We're going to disagree strongly here.
It's him and Jake Gyllenhaal for sure would be like the two best, coolest guys to hang out with.
I'd be way more interested in hanging with Jake. Even Matt Damon. I'd be more interested.
No! Damon seems like such a dweeb. He's all like,
no, because I want to get Matt Damon in. I want to sit him down and be like,
I wanted to get your guys' opinions on the Pixar shorts. Because I know you both have strong opinions.
Whoa. Wait, hold on.
Hold your freaking horses, B-Mort. I'm talking about my boyfriend, Leonardo DiCaprio here.
So B-Mort, back when I said I had two questions for you, the first one was about which one was your favorite director. The second one was which one's your favorite short. So while I make my point about why Leonardo DiCaprio would be less fun than Matt Damon at a party, think about the answer to that
That's
question.
That's insane. He would be. Have you seen the pictures of him shirtless with a water gun?
Are we going off physical, just like appearance? Because like,
no, I'm talking about.
Unless Leonardo DiCaprio is in character as that Calvin Candy from Django Unchained, not interested.
No, first off, that guy would be way cool to hang out with. But like, he got fat last summer. He put on like 30 pounds. He grew out his hair. Like, he stopped caring. Like, that's the thing I love about Leonardo DiCaprio is he's not part of the Hollywood hype thing. Yeah. Like, he's so far outside of it.
I think he's gone too far out. He's like too artsy fartsy.
No, he's not artsy though. He doesn't make arts house movies.
Come on, The Revenant, please.
That's not an art house movie. That's gonna be incredible.
It doesn't.
Was Birdman?
It's an artsy
Was
film.
Birdman an art house movie?
It was an artsy.
Yes.
Not art house.
Birdman was not. Yes. Birdman was like
it
pretty.
Was. Yes, it was. It was. It was yes, a stage
no, Birdman
show.
Absolutely.
It was a CJ. Yeah, but like it wasn't arts house. It was just like, hey, Oscars, don't you love being in the Academy?
Oh,
here's
sure
an inside joke.
Should you bleep out CJ? Is that something that I can't say on the pod?
I don't. You know what? I'm gonna. I don't think. I think that would have went over a lot of people's heads.
Okay, because I just want everybody to know that
Michael
jerk.
Keaton. Michael Keaton came out with. Okay, thank you. let me make a note of where he said that so I can edit it. Okay, Brian.
Yes.
Favorite Pixar short. Let's do it.
As reevaluating, Bounden comes to mind because at the time it was really good. I think it might be a little trite now. The Blue Umbrella was really good because it was the first time they really tried something different. Mm. That one almost looked like realism as opposed to animation. But this new one, the Sanjay Super Team, is their best, I think, so far. It is.
Oh, you put it
the
number
most
one.
Touching.
As far as spelling
yeah,
goes,
it was. I mean,
oh, it's so
it's
good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
And it didn't the help themes. The Good Dinosaur for me because, to be totally frank, I've been like down on the Good Dinosaur like leading up to it. And in what was admittedly like a reverse psychology like move for me, thinking if I go in with the lowest of expectations, maybe I'll like the Good Dinosaur. Mm-hmm. But then Sanjay's superhero comes on, and I was just. It was amazing. It was amazing. And that did not help the Good Dinosaur.
It's incredible for a lot of reasons. One of which is it's depicting Middle Eastern people in
Indian
a positive
culture.
Way.
India
it's,
is not part of the Middle East.
Yeah, it is.
It's Asia.
What are you talking about? Yes, it is.
India is not the Middle
it's
East.
It's like Asia, Middle East. Yes, it is.
India is definitely the Middle East.
What are you talking about? You're crazy.
Yeah, what are we talking about? We're talking about Indians, right? Like, whoa.
Scott,
you're
thinking
whoa.
Of Native Americans. That's that you're on.
The Middle East. Okay, I just Googled
no,
it.
No, people
Middle
from
East
India.
Is Israel, Palestine, Syria, India. Lebanon, Iraq, Iran.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to Google this right now, too.
It's Southwest Asia.
Okay, is India in the Middle East?
No!
Google says.
I bet you they say it's in Asia.
Yes.
It's
says yes.
Like. Like
Asia
Saudi
is a
Arabia,
continent, right? Middle East is
Middle
not a
East.
Continent. It's a section
Afghanistan,
of continent.
Middle East.
Yep.
Pakistan, kind of the middle ground. But by the time you get to India.
Yeah, no. It looks like Google's telling me.
It doesn't really matter because what I'm saying is that it's depicting a different type of life than Americans are used to in a way that it would be scary for an executive to like choose.
Well, that all changes if it wasn't actually the Middle East.
You really? You guys are crazy.
Google map of Middle East. India is not on there.
Yes, it is.
No, it's really not.
Much like Eddie Redmayne, I feel very humbled right now.
No, I disagree with you guys.
No, look, I was team
Iran
India the
is
Middle
as far
East,
east as,
it,
as the right. Middle East goes. Yeah. It's not the Middle East... And more east, it's the Middle East.
Anyway, so Sanjay and his superheroes.
Okay, this is incredible. I love Sanjay and his superheroes.
It was
I cried at the end. I'm going to be honest. Like, even though it was like 10 minutes long, I cried at the end.
Because you identify with the dad, right?
I cried at the moment when the picture came up and that it was Sanjay who created this. And like it all became very real at that moment.
With his dad.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I
which
cried.
Is him. I mean, he art directed The Good Dinosaur, which you just pooped on, so.
Well, I'm saying speaking that the which... background is beautiful. If he was in charge of what the dinosaurs look like, though, then poop on you, Sanjay. The dinosaurs look terrible.
Seriously.
We haven't even talked about that.
If they could have spent a little more
awful.
Time on those dinosaurs, as much time as they spent on the landscape.
They look like the dinosaurs from Disney's The Dinosaur. From like what? Like Disney's
no,
dinosaurs
no.
from like
they had like reach into
that's
the Land
not,
Before Time like archive and like we just gotta throw these in.
That was Uncanny Valley. The reason they looked bad is because they didn't want to get into the Uncanny Valley. They wanted to keep, you know, some.
But then why make everything like? Isn't that the whole thing with Finding Nemo? When they first made it, the ocean looked too real, and so they had to take a step back.
Yep.
But then why did they make the background so real in this? Like they didn't take a step back on that.
Because it was an exercise in technical achievement.
But that's not Pixar. Pixar story.
Too. I know.
So they just made Disney's
See,
dinosaurs.
Life cycle of a family.
Right back at the beginning. Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast. Oh, my
gosh. By the way, go to hashtag Brave Little Podcast Middle East if you agree with me. Or just don't even tweet. Like, you probably don't have a Twitter account if you don't agree
and
with
while
me.
You're live it, a, while you're at it,
in India or something.
Hashtag hang with Matt Damon, hashtag hang with Leo.
Everybody's going to be tweeting it. Hashtag hang with Leo. Because that's also, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills, guys. Like, I can't even believe that you
Leonardo
guys.
Leonardo DiCaprio does not seem like a fun individual to spend time with.
Oh, I couldn't
disagree
more.
I enjoy his performances. He doesn't seem like a fun person.
I think that you've been duped into thinking you know Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, that's the thing.
And I think
has he ever been on Conan? Has he ever been on like Jimmy Fallon? No, he doesn't do that stuff.
He's very pretentious.
Because he's too cool.
Yeah.
He's a real guy. Like, he's not.
He could no. He probably would be the opposite.
Doesn't
of that,
he
right?
hang out with Vladimir Putin and stuff? I swear.
Yeah, dude, I love Putin.
He's my favorite Russian leader.
Do you know that his second in command's name is Medvedev, which means like bear man?
Oh, that's right. You served in Russia. I keep forgetting.
New York City, Russian speaking.
Whatever.
I served in West Texas.
You're stateside. Hey, we were all stateside. Great.
That explains
I've done both,
a lot.
And I can tell everybody in the world stateside's better.
Oh, you've done both.
Yeah, but like,
you're
guys,
so cool.
I got called to Peoria, Illinois, which is a place no one's ever even heard of.
I got called to San Francisco, or not San Francisco.
Lubbock, right?
I didn't get called to Lubbock. Yeah, that's a whole nother story that you can listen to on my show, The Happy Valley Podcast.
Oh, this is not the plug section?
Yeah,
save
no,
your plugs.
We're not going to allow that. Nope.
You can save that for the end.
You guys are plugging your hashtags.
Hashtags
are not plugs,
it's
bro.
It's been an hour and a half. We need to be close to the
You're telling us how to run our own show. I'm insulted.
Yeah, just FYI, by the way, we're at halftime of this episode, so...
Well, this is the intermission of the new Tarantino film.
This is my LeBron impression where it's too hot in here. I might. Ow.
You got a cramp?
I gotta put him on the bench.
Can we talk about the Tarantino film for a minute? The Hateful Eight? It has a full intermission.
It looks.
That's bad news for me.
Why?
The reviews are really good.
I wish movies that were 3 hours had intermissions, but I also, more than that, I wish movies that were made. Movies shouldn't be 3 hours ever. I shouldn't say ever. You have to have a really, 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 really good reason to justify a 3-hour runtime.
Dude, the original... Yeah.
Obviously, Tarantino is likely one of those people that has a good reason.
Yeah, the reviews are really, really, really positive.
Are the reviews coming out? I thought there was still like an embargo.
There's an embargo, but people have tweeted about it. Mm. Like 6 people broke the embargo.
Okay.
And they're really positive.
So speaking of Tarantino, I actually identified with Sanjay in the Pixar short more than the dad, because growing up in a religious household, I think I could see how I may have been like that, either dismissive or like just nonchalant or non-caring about religious traditions at times, you know, and seeing how he like allowed his world to be applied to his dad, like that moment to me was I thought was very, very touching.
Interstellar moment where you're like, oh my gosh, this is just like what I believe.
Yeah. Dude, I love that there's that way of telling a story, because like I think that would be a terrible full-length film, but as a short, it's so beautiful. And like, can that be nominated for best short in the Oscars?
Of course, yeah, I think it would.
Like it.
Oh no,
not this one.
Not there's a best animated short. Right?
There's no animated short category. Is there an animated short category?
Yeah, there is.
Well, it should win. Like, this was so good. Like, I was so impressed with it.
I know. There are a lot of racist people in the Academy. They don't like the Middle East, so it might not.
Well, then this shouldn't be a problem for them.
We should also probably acknowledge that we're all just living in the shadow of the new Star Wars movie, which is going
to
be great.
Well, if you listen to the last podcast, Beemort.
Was you on it? Was you on?
I was breaking English. Was you on it?
Is I
Beemort
here?
I guess let's talk about that quickly. What's your hype level? What's your expectation? What do you want out of the Star Wars? Are you a big Star Wars fan?
I am a huge Star Wars fan. I came into the Star Wars universe through the prequels and then realized that it was like joining the FLDS Church and becoming into the
FLDS. Wow. See, so we have a lot of people who aren't Mormon who listen to the podcast. So. Yeah.
So I loved episode 1 and I got really into all of the canon and the movies, and then when I saw episode 2 I was so, you know, despondent. Right.
Oh,
so I'm excited.
You were already that discerning of a movie viewer that you didn't like Attack of the Clones?
Yes, episode 2 was so bad, and it wasn't even bad in the same way as episode
1
was.
13-year-old me was
like,
so
little
sold.
Kids knew it was bad. They did.
No, I was sold, man.
It was boring. It was like, oh, we're gonna talk in a room. This is fun.
Let's, yeah, but
we
Yoda,
just saw the greatest
man.
Lightsaber battle in the history.
I honestly, it's easier for me to believe that George Lucas was just wanted to do like an F you to everyone rather than thinking he was that oblivious to that he was making such a bad film.
Well, have you heard his recent stuff Hot about Chopper. The new?
Ridiculous. So ridiculous.
Oh, it's so bad.
Well, did you see his interview today about him talking about how Han shot? In his mind, once Han ended up with Princess Leia,
then
all of a sudden Han had
this.
To become a John Wayne character. He couldn't be an outlaw. He had to be kind of like a good outlaw who wouldn't shoot first.
Then he goes on to say, he's like, he was going to go on and marry Leia. Do we want him to, do we want Leia to marry a cold-blooded murderer? And I'm thinking, yes. Yes, I do,
that's,
because that's Han Solo.
That's the man we love.
I was thinking about being him and how frustrating it would be to have created something that you can't control. But then realizing that that's exactly what is so important about Star Wars. It's like no one can control this. This is not in anyone's control.
It's totally
control.
True.
No one man can control this.
Right. It's like having kids. Once your kids reach a certain age, you can't dress them anymore. Like they get to make their own decisions. Yep.
I really am very grateful that he was willing to part. Like, I didn't think he'd ever do it. So the fact that he sold it for $4 billion, which, mind you, is a bargain to Disney, like, I'm just so grateful he was willing to do that. But the fact that he thought even for a moment that Disney would, you know, keep him around for story ideas, like, the dude is detached.
He had an opportunity to kind of fade into obscurity and take his place as someone who finally gave into the fans and, you know, took it very gracefully and just be, you know, kind of the father of the series. And then for whatever reason, his publicist decided it's okay for him to say
that this is like a divorce.
I hate this stuff.
There's no publicist there. He's just George Lucas being George Lucas.
I agree with you, but that's a
problem. I bet his publicist is just like a C-3PO that he built.
Dude, do you think 3PO is always hanging out with him? Like, I just rewatched them all. 3PO is the worst.
He's such a dick to R2, all the time.
3PO is so annoying. He's the Jar Jar of the original series.
But necessary. He's necessary. I'm just thankful that little Anakin built him. But yeah, necessary.
Stop.
There's a theme in that show that never gets explored, which is like how messed up it is how they treat droids.
Yeah.
Well, no. There is.
They need to.
There are droids getting tortured in multiple scenes in that, like in the original trilogy. I don't get it. Like, what are droids?
They're aiding and abetting rebels of an empire. Like, how can a...
But, like, are droids... Do they have feelings? Like, I don't get how well-programmed they are. Because C-3PO several times mentions not wanting to die and, like, getting hurt and things like...
And feeling fear. Yeah.
These are not anthropomorphic. Like, pain. They're not human.
Well, in the case of C-3PO, it's Anthony Daniels being tired of being like a robot that he just started. He just pretended like he was a human. Like, that's really what it was.
My arm hurts. My arm hurts.
And in the second one, they switch his head. You remember with the droid? And I'm like, this is so painful. Like, we should be very concerned for this person. He's being mutilated.
Which I kid you not. I'm very concerned that there is a high degree of likelihood that that BB-8's going to get kicked like a soccer ball once in this movie.
Oh, once?
But I think that they'll probably take advantage of that.
And they're going
to
sell
at some point, you'll realize it's super messed up how we treat droids.
Think that there's going to be like, they're going to get to a place where there's a space soccer game going on. Mm. And like they're going to have space David Beckham.
And
he's going to be like...
players too.
And like Daniel Radcliffe's going to be like, hey, space David Beckham, we're both real British. Pass me that damn BB-8. And he'll say, coming right up, Harry Potter.
You are the creative person of the world.
Brian, are you okay with what seems like the increasing inevitability that The Force Awakens is going to be very, very similar to A New Hope? I think it's going to be broad strokes, basically the same.
I don't think it's going to be very, very similar to A New Hope.
What? Wait, farm boy on a sandy sandy
planet? That's the hero story. That's the same as every really good movie.
Droid that...
I don't think that's what this story will be about. I think that she is a distraction from what the real story is.
I would love if that were true.
I don't think she's the protagonist. I think that the black guy is.
Whoa, he has a name.
What's his name in the movie?
Okay, so JJ and Disney have been using every opportunity possible to show us Finn holding a lightsaber, like as if we're supposed to believe he's a Jedi.
Yep.
And we know there's no such thing as black Jedi. So,
actually, after 1978, there are black Jedi. So,
I think that she is probably more like a Han character.
Wait, B-Mart, what are you saying?
I think that she is probably more like the Han character. It shows her shooting a lot, and I think that she's the more like the rough gun, can't control me.
You don't
me.
Think she'll be a Jedi?
Nope, I don't. I don't think she will be. Interesting. Yeah. I think he'll be, and he's a stormtrooper, which is awesome.
I really want
I don't think her he's a parentage
to be insignificant.
You don't think he's a stormtrooper? You're crazy.
I think he was just wearing the stormtrooper.
No, yeah. No, that's get-up. That's a classic JJ, like, you know, a decoy, totally diversion. Like, he's not actually. They filmed those scenes for the trailers, but that's not actually.
No. It's in the movie, but he was just like, stupid. Dude, Han and Luke put on the stormtrooper outfits in 4.
Yeah, but he would have to have it on twice because we see him crash and then we see him in a stormtrooper's uniform in like a space station. So
that would be before the crash.
No, it's not. There's blood on his helmet.
Wait, no, the blood on his helmet is after he gets back up from slaughtering like a village on Jakku.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not going to get into this.
No, I agree with you though. I'm telling you that he's a stormtrooper who is abandoned.
Yeah. Yeah, like, no, he defects and he grabs Poe. They hijack a TIE fighter and they go right back to Jakku to go get BB-8. Which
and
is
maybe
lightsaber, I think.
The JJ turn, I think, is probably more to do with Oscar Isaac's character because we don't know squat about him, and I think that he's the best actor of the three.
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, he's by far.
I think that he might have
which
a lot
is weird
more to
because
do
he's been suspiciously absent from a lot of the main marketing materials.
Yep, but, so maybe he's the Jedi.
But like, so has Donal. Like, Donal's been completely ignored, and he's an incredible actor. Like,
who?
Yeah, Donal Gleeson. I think future films in this trilogy will be a little bit more Poe and General Hux like centric.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be this one. But Brian, I don't know how much you follow the canon in Star Wars and what Disney designates as canon, but they had a whole comic book line that talks a lot about Poe's origins, and so there is knowledge out there about like who
his parents are. But they blew it up. They blew up everything except for the Clone Wars, right?
No, this is just came out like this month. Oh, it's Disney approved. It's actually in the canon. So they have a list of what's canon. This is canon.
So what's his backstory?
No.
There's a series called The Shattered Empire that takes place right after the second Death Star in Return of the Jedi blows up. Yeah. And one of the X-Wing fighter pilots up there is Poe's mom. And his dad's down on Endor, like a little foot soldier for the rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see his parents in the comic and it's canon. So at least we know that much.
Yeah, but I bet he's out of the three, he's the main guy. He's the main person of the three of them.
No.
And then I think
like
you think this
trilogy will be about Poe, like the one last one was about Luke?
Yes. Yes, I do. I do think that.
Interesting. Yeah. I would love for that
They're
to be true.
They're not marketing like that at all.
No, but that's what Abrams is. He always loves to make you think
you saw what he did with Benedict in Into Darkness.
So you have Oscar Isaacs in a movie and you put the three other people on the poster. It's because those three other people are not as important.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
I'm concerned that Daisy Ridley's not good at acting, but anyway.
Ooh, I disagree. She's British.
You've heard about the Simon Pegg
story,
though.
I hope she's good. I'm just concerned she might not be. Yeah, that's true. They're all good.
You've heard about the Simon Pegg story, though, right?
Yeah,
which is that
incredible.
He begged to be in this movie, said, I don't care what I'm doing, and they just put him in a costume.
Yeah, I mean, that's a story, but, like, you also know that he's really good friends with J.J. Abrams.
Sure, yeah.
So, I mean, like, he could have done more. I think this is all,
like...
He's
going to be,
like, a one-off. This is, like, his favorite thing. It's a bit.
Circus is in this movie, and we have seen nothing of what he is, so I'm excited for that.
Oh, isn't he Darth Sidious?
I wonder if Simon Pegg is screwing with us when he says that Daniel Craig has a scene where he's a stormtrooper that never takes his helmet off.
No, that's
like, do you
dumb.
Think he's screwing with this, or do you think Daniel Craig is in this movie?
That would be pretty cool as an extra feature.
Daniel Craig denied it, like, vehemently, yeah. But I would also deny it had I done it, right? So, I mean, I like the idea that tons of those stormtroopers are famous people and we never know.
I think every British actor will be in this. It'll be like a Harry Potter reunion.
Like Tom Hiddleston.
Which, can
Isn't
we...
Isn't the guy from Ex Machina also in it? Is that the one you're talking
yeah,
about?
Donal Gleeson, bro.
Yeah.
Donal Gleeson.
Dude, that's why I went and saw Ex Machina. I actually hadn't seen a trailer or anything, but I saw Oscar Isaac and Donal Gleeson. I was like, hey, this is kind of like a precursor to Star Wars. I'll go
I think
check
the
this
fact
out.
That and we're all saying like, his name right is probably going to mean that Donal's going to come on the show now.
Yeah.
Okay, I take it back. I might want to hang out with Donal more than I want to hang out with Leo.
I agree with you.
Oh, Donal's so cool.
Yeah, well, 100%. Have you seen About Time? He's delightful.
Oh, I didn't see
He's that a very likable man. He's so likable.
Very likable.
How old would you guess he is?
He's got to be like 32.
Holy crap, he's 32. Look at that.
Is it right?
Yeah, right on. You win $5. Be more pay up.
David is... I have a secret theory that David is secretly just a Twitter bot that was created with popular culture because he knows too much about it, you know? And he just regurgitates a lot of it, and I'm like, I don't know, are you just a Twitter bot that I've, like, have I met him? Yeah, I've met him, okay.
Well, David is a Twitter bot,
I sat
though.
By him. But it's not the same David that I sat by.
You're onto something, you are onto something, because I've actually never had, like, an original opinion on anything.
Well, no one has. That's stupid to think that you do have an original opinion.
No, David, that's not true. Tell him your opinion about black people and Mexican people.
All right, okay. You guys, don't tell anyone that I said this.
Gosh, is this a bit or is
dude,
there
I really
a
don't
payoff?
Want to cut anything in this episode. We've gone an hour and 40 something
minutes. Wait, I had something to say. I had something to say.
Well, let's say it.
My prediction is that episode seven will be a Gus Van Sant style shot for shot remake of episode four, and that's the big twist that we've been waiting for from Jar Jar Abrams himself.
Are you poking fun at Gus Van Sant's shot for shot remake of Psycho?
I'm not poking fun at it. I'm just saying Gus Van Sant is the hero when it comes to shot for shot remakes. Okay. Not being very shot for shot good.
What else has he done shot for shot? I wasn't aware of anything else other than Psycho.
It's just that's the biggest shot for shot remake ever done.
Dude, I want to do a shot for shot remake of Good Will Hunting.
Ooh, we should do
Skyler,
the original
version.
Skyler,
I need you in the Casey Affleck role.
Yeah. I love Casey Affleck. He's my favorite. Although
Brian could do Matt Damon. He could totally do it.
Dude, that new Casey Affleck movie does not look great. But, I just learned today about the original plot for Good Will Hunting, about how it was a two-act part where the second act was going to be him becoming like a CIA operative.
It was an espionage movie until Rob Reiner told him it was a bad idea.
Oh, that would have been so bad. Oh, it would have been so bad.
We talked about that on Pod By Me, by the way. If I guess maybe you weren't listening. But
Pod By Me? Is that the Stand By Me one?
Yeah.
I was on that one.
Yeah, I know. We had a whole theory about Rob Reiner and how he changed the Good Will. You don't even listen. You don't even listen to the words I said. Oh, my gosh. You're killing me. Oh, my gosh. So ridiculous. Guess what I learned today, guys? Good Will Hunting was going to be an espionage movie. Okay.
You told me that, Ron. You told
like
me that.
20 minutes talking about it.
Okay.
This is why you don't come on the pod anymore.
I'm the Brick Tamlin of the show. No, guys. My suspension's over. I'm going to be back on the pod more often now.
Yeah, it's true. This has been a very ESPN-esque suspension period.
Well, I mean, MoviePass knows what I did, and I apologize to the CEO over at MoviePass.
I asked you not to tweet, but that didn't stop you.
Well, you know what? When the commissioner of the Academy for Motion Pictures
Luke
and
Wilson?
Films... Is he playing Roger Goodell?
Yes.
That movie's gonna be so bad.
We've all seen the trailer.
That movie's gonna win every Oscar because it's so bad. Oh, B-Mort, tell me you're excited for Concussion. They called it Concussion. Like,
yep.
Okay. Not to get too far off track, but I do have one more question. Yeah. In regards to Will Smith, B-Mort, if you were to give Will Smith an Oscar for one of his performances in his filmography, which one would you give it to him for?
Independence Day.
Well, Independence Day is the correct answer.
Yeah. Right answer.
Yeah. It's either that or iRobot.
iRobot wasn't bad, but Independence Day, Welcome to Earth.
iRobot CGI has not held up.
No, it looks bad. Hancock?
My friend, Jordan, my podcast host, has a whole theory about Will Smith's character from Independence Day, like just meeting new people and punching them in the face. Hey, welcome to Utah. Bam!
Does he have any theories about his character from Concussion's accent?
Oh, gosh dang. We gotta be done.
Tell the truth. You tell the truth.
Luke Wilson.
I know. It doesn't look good. By the way, B-Mort, I've been meaning to ask you, and this is an honest question, but please, is Jordan serious when he says that he actually liked True Detective Season 2?
No, he's making fun of me.
It's a bit, right?
Yeah. Wait, B-Mort, did like it?
No.
Jordan making
No,
making
but
you be
he said that he was making fun of Brian.
What?
Brian just said that he was making fun of him.
No. He was making fun of me. About True Detective, because I say that I love season two.
Wait,
I'm so confused.
Dude, okay, I just need to know something. Do you or Jordan or Alex or anyone you know like True Detective season two?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I was legitimately concerned, Brian. Mm. Like, I'm listening to you guys talking about it. It's not clear that it's a bit, which means I guess it's a sign of a good bit. And I was, like, legitimately concerned because, like, I don't know. I can't. Trust people, you know?
That, yeah. No, it's a bad series. So.
Anyway, I've never seen something that parts so far from something that was so great into something so terrible. It was like bigger gap than the Star Wars prequels. Mm. But anyway.
No.
No, I think so.
That's not possible.
That's impossible. Hey, B-More, do you have any other parting thoughts on Pixar? You're on Eastern time right now, and
I'm fading.
It's time for plugs. Fading.
Oh, yeah. Let's plug Happy Valley Podcast.
It's called the Happy Valley Podcast, and if you listen to podcasts, you probably know how to subscribe to podcasts.
If you go,
are you guys available on Stitcher?
The URL is happyvalleypodcast.us, or is it .mobi, M-O-B-I?
I think it's happyvalley.com.
Whoa, you guys got .com?
Let me see.
Nice.
Dang, you guys got that money.
Got that auction, I'm assuming.
Got the.
Unless I didn't renew
got
it.
Got that grad school money. You got that grad school money.
Nope, I didn't renew it.
I'm confused. I'm not from Utah. I didn't grow up here. I always thought that like Penn State was Happy Valley, but then when I moved to Utah, it's referred like Utah County is referred to Happy Valley, right?
Yeah, Utah County is.
Penn State's Happy Valley.
I think Penn State had it first, though. I just think the Happy Valley thing is a what you'd say about BYU people. So.
Okay, another question I have. Can you tell me what the word Zubi means or Zub?
Yeah, it means that you're going to school to have sex with other girls that you will reproduce with. So wait, it's just a big zoo. Yeah, okay. It's like we're putting people together to mate. So then it's a zoobie. You know, you're from the zoo.
Okay, I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that college countries across the nation are mating.
They're not mating though, right? They're just
they're spilling their seed, stuff. Guys. They're spilling.
It's
their
not
seed.
It's not about reproduction anywhere else.
Tomato tomato, but you know.
The act is very similar.
Utah can kiss my butt because they won't play us, and I'm sick and tired of hearing from
the University
fans.
Of Utah. You're trying to get me to go off right now, aren't you?
No, we need.
Dude,
we
don't
really
don't bring
end.
Up your theory that BYU would have beat them through some sort of miracle.
Yeah, you would never know.
So BYU
though,
wouldn't
because,
beat them.
Again,
they'd beat them 10 times out of 10.
If you played us, you would know if you could beat us. That would be.
It's so ridiculous that people even have the conversation of like who would win until they have the balls to play us.
99% of our listeners do not care about this.
Yeah.
Well, good thing we just spent 30
seconds. Let's sign off.
But seriously, B-More, I noticed that your contributions towards the end of this 2-hour pod have grown smaller and smaller, and I know that you want to be released from this purgatory.
Yeah. Oh, no. After all the editing, this is going to be like a clean 30-minute pod.
Yeah, no, it'd be 17 to 30 minutes-ish. But the director's cut's going to be so good. B-More, seriously, thanks for your time. I know you're on the East Coast. I know you got school. And you're not, are you working as well?
No, but you
okay.
Know.
You're not in an Apple Store back there or anything.
Nope. But right. You know, I still am tired. Still.
Oh dang, dude! Okay.
Talk to you.
I thought people that didn't
later?
Have like people that didn't work. I thought they just stayed up all night.
Yeah. No. Thanks,
do you have
more.
The new Apple TV?
I do have the new Apple TV. You can't you can't bring up the BYU and the Apple TV at the end. We'll talk about that.
The only reason why I'm bringing
up
Apple TV isn't to go on a tangent. I promise
you're
going to
do an ad.
It's a segue to another sponsor of our pod, which is the Know It All app that's meant for the new Apple TV.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's going to be likely approved in the App Store by the end of the week. We're going to have some free codes to give out. So I'm trying to find the people that actually have the new Apple TV that could be benefited by the game. Yeah. And so it's good to know you have it. I love it. I have it as well. It's awesome. But seriously, thanks for your time. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Brian.
What's that?
If you want to test it, you can test flight me it too. So.
Oh, yeah. Test flight. Oh, that's what we could do that too.
Okay. Hey, thanks, guys.
Hey, Brian, question.
Thanks for everything.
One more question before you go.
Yeah.
What do you call skipping school in Utah?
What do you call it?
No, that's not a joke. I was like legitimately asking.
No, they call it. There's a word I keep hearing.
Sloughing?
Sloughing. Oh.
Yeah.
That word.
Is that?
Yeah.
So sloughing is just a straight. It's a, the exact same. It's synonymous with just skipping, ditching.
Like yeah. Sloughing class.
I just want to know where that comes from. That's got to be an interesting etymology.
I bet you it's probably something from the 50s that was cool in the 50s that we all picked up from our grandparents.
That's endearing.
It's like
though.
All
I
Utah
like
stuff.
Oh, hey, Brian, before you go, though, because I feel like you're about to hang up. We do end the podcast a certain way, so you got to participate in that.
Hold on to
Brad.
No.
We got to reset a little bit.
That was a little premature.
Yeah. Okay. Pills for that now.
Clear the throat. As we say,
hold on to your butts. Brian, you went and made a damn bit out of it.
Well, he purposely sabotaged our ending, so that was great. That's terrific. Thanks for coming on, B-Mart. Really appreciate that. Really do.
Yeah. I feel like you made a whole joke out of damn everything.
Okay, talk to you later.
Jeez, I knew he was going to come on here and disrespect us. I knew. I was waiting for the moment.
Thank you for listening to the Brave Little Podcast. Hold on to your butts.